Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stage Right, the show that looks at the lack of conservative voices in theater and asks, why? With your host, Rocky Benisher. Did you miss me? Did you miss me? That's the question. My listeners, my folks who listen to my archive every week, did you miss me? Because I haven't been on for a couple of weeks, taking a New Year's hiatus, but I'm back. I'm back. Hello, everybody. This is Rocky Benisher, and I want to welcome you to Stage Right. This is the show that seeks out the conservative voice in theater. Where are they? And I, you know, I've asked this before, and I'll ask it again for the new year. I might as well open it up with a beautiful song. Where have all the conservatives gone? Long time passing. Where have all the conservatives gone? Long time ago. Where have all the conservatives gone? They're afraid to go on stage and write anything because they're afraid somebody's going to call them a fascist or a homophobe or a racist or all those stupid names that we're not. Oh, when will they ever learn? Oh, when will they ever learn? Why am I singing songs by left-wing folk singers? Anyway, welcome to Stage Right, and I am so excited about today's show. I'm excited about starting the new year 2015 with all of you, but I'm really excited about a number of things. First of all, I've been looking at our numbers, and they are growing exponentially. We have many more people listening in and many, many more people who are going to blogtalkradio.com and are pulling up our archives and listening to this show. So I've got more people interested, and that's great. Let's keep it up. Let's keep it up. My New Year's resolutions this year, my New Year's resolution is I want to make sure that we have a dialogue going on. People have written to me and said, you know, Rocky, we, you know, I could sustain myself. These are the people writing. We could sustain our lives just by listening to you alone all the time. But wouldn't it be great if you can get some, you know, maybe other voices on here? And yes, that is an absolute possibility. As a matter of fact, it's a probability. Because starting, I believe, next week, we've got guests lined up on each show. So things are really hopping here at, what's the name of the show? Stage Right. It's really hopping. And of course, I've got my birds in the background. Those who listen to me know that we broadcast from the zoo. I don't know, but we have a pretty much of an aviary here, and we've got whistling and talking and all kinds of things going on back there. A couple of you have written to me and said, "Hey, Rocky, you know the birds are. I can hear the birds. When will you shut up so we can just hear the birds?" But those people, of course, I didn't really answer. Anyway. I'd like to remind you that we are sponsored by our friends at Xander Business Group, who provides social media monitoring and online risk assessments for your child's online presence. Hey, parents, the internet never forgets. If you've got a minor child, do you know what that person is doing? That child is doing on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Pinterest, on whatever else is out there these days, because they're always coming up with something new. Are you aware of what these folks are doing, these folks, your children? Are you aware of what your children are doing on the internet? Because the internet never forgets. And therefore, it's even more important now for parents to take a proactive role in protecting their child's safety as well as online reputation. So please contact Xander Business Group for more information. They are at 760-865-9614. That number again is 760-865-9614. Or you can email us at info at Xander, that's X-A-N-D-E-R Business Group, xanderbusinessgroup.com. And if you want to call in to Stage Right, we invite you to do so. Our number is 347-884-9659. That's 347-884-9659. And you can also write to me. There's so many ways to get in touch with me. And that is at Gmail. My Gmail account is Stage Right Audio. Stage Right Audio 1. It's all one word there. stagerightaudio1@gmail.com. Hey, you know, you can also friend me on Facebook. I'd love to get some more friends out there. I'm getting them. I get probably a new one or two every day. I'm Rocky Benisher. Just look me up on Facebook. I do Facebook. Okay, so here we go. Let me tell you why I'm so excited. I'm very excited because, as you know, weeks ago, we were discussing the Republican Theater Festival of 2012. And the Republican Theater Festival was put together by Kara Bluin. Now, you all know that I messed up a few weeks ago and gave Kara Bluin the wrong date about when she could call in. And, well, that killed that one. And she has been very gracious, and she will be coming on with us toward the end of this month. She's not available right now, but she said toward the end of the month she will get back with us, and we will be interviewing Kara Bluin. I also have lined up some playwrights from that festival. Hopefully we're going to get to speak with Walt Vail. Hopefully we're going to get to speak with Ludmila Bolo, and I'm still reaching out to a few others. But right now our focus is going to be on C.J. Ehrlich. Yes. Who is C.J. Ehrlich, you may ask? Well, have you been living under a theatrical rock? Actually, no. C.J. Ehrlich was one of the participants, one of the selected playwrights for the Republican Theater Festival. Her play was called Occupy This, but it was actually a couple of plays, one of which we're going to spend some time talking about today. The Republican Theater Festival, you remember, was in Philadelphia in 2012. It did make a little bit of a splash in the newspapers because, of course, the left wing, and that would be everybody in the media pretty much, was saying, what? How dare they? How dare they? I can't wait to talk to Kara Bluin about this. But I do know this, that Roger Ebert, the late Roger Ebert of Siskel and Ebert fame, and Roger Ebert's gone, I think, maybe about a year, right? As left as they come, had this to say on Twitter, quote, at last, a theater festival with right-wing plays. Yes, thanks a lot, Roger. Okay, Roger that. Alrighty, so C.J. Ehrlich. Who is C.J. Ehrlich and what has she done? Well, let me tell you something. C.J. was not able to be with us on the air, but I have corresponded with C.J. A number of times leading up to this broadcast. And you want to talk about a resume of some prestige, of some weight, then you'd want to look at C.J. Ehrlich's resume. Give you an idea. Okay, here are some publications that C.J. Ehrlich is represented in. Best 10-Minute Plays of 2015. Best 10-Minute Plays of 2014. Best 10-Minute Plays of 2013. Best 10-Minute Plays of 2011. C.J., what happened to 2012? What, you off your game? Anyway, and also in a collection called G-Men in G-Strings, the J. Edgar Hoover Follies. It's an anthology published in 2010. She has got, over the last just few years, as I'm looking through page after page after page of her CV, she has got awards, recognitions, finalist in many, many playwriting contests, overall festival winner and Audience Choice Award at the Bellarmine University Mad Thematics Festival in Louisville for a play called 2 plus 1 equals Murder. That was part of the best 10 plays of 2015. Although I wonder, how did they already determine the best plays of 2015 when we're only 4 days into 2015? Man, she's good. Wow. Okay. Now, her latest endeavor is The Cupcake Conspiracy. This is something she co-wrote with Philip J. Kaplan. And this play is about Max, a timid nebbish. I love it. I love it. I am of the Jewish persuasion. Nebbish is wonderful. I've been called it many times. Max is a timid nebbish. Oi, 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 the rabbit sends a guy. Max is a timid nebbish. Who sneaks out? Rocky, you're going to get past this? Oops. You're going to get past the first few sentences here so you can keep talking? Yeah. He sneaks out on a blind date behind his soon-to-be ex-wife's back, and due to the case of mistaken identity at the top of the Empire State Building, he finds himself up to his neck in a terrorist plot involving cupcakes. Mm-hmm. His date with the sultry Natasha could be the most exciting night of his life if he can just foil her plot and more importantly, keep his wife from finding out. This is now lest you think that people are not paying attention to this play, the Cupcake Conspiracy. It was the 2014 winner of the Rover New Play Contest. And as a matter of fact, it will be premiering in the 2014 to 2015 season of the Rover Drama Weeks season. The Cupcake Conspiracy goes January 8th through the 31st. That's in Texas. This Rover Drama Works is near Dallas, Texas. Their address is Plano, but Plano is too Plano for CJ. Dallas it is. Big D. Anyway, so they must be, I don't know Texas geography, but I do know that CJ is on her way to Dallas very soon. And how exciting for CJ, PJ, and anything else. And I'm a DJ. How exciting for her and Mr. Kaplan for the Cupcake Conspiracy. And I'd love to hear from you. Anybody who out there who has seen it, give us a ring and let us know how that went out, but I bet it'll be great. So, okay, so CJ Ehrlich, we're talking about somebody here who is no slouch on the playwriting scene, all right? So she had written to me, well, I had written out to her, and I said, hey, CJ, I'd like to talk to you about your play for the Republican Theater Festival. And CJ very kindly wrote back. By the way, if you want to read more about CJ, her email, her website is www.cj, just CJ, dash Ehrlich, Ehrlich, that's Ehrlich.com, www.cj-ehrlich.com. So she talked a bit about having her plays at the Republican Theater Festival. And then she got into a little bit the conversation that we are most interested in is what is conservative theater? And she says this. She says, as far as my body of work, this is in an email to me, though I was happy to be part of the festival, my plays are mainly comedies about quirky relationships. What? You mean a man who goes off and is dating a terrorist over cupcakes? I mean, what makes that quirky? Anyway, quirky relationships and not especially political, though most comedy is based in conservative values. Okay. So, dope that I am, and you know that I am, dope that I am, I was trying to figure out exactly what that means. What does it mean? So, CJ, when you listen to this show, drop me a line. Drop me a line. Tell me exactly what you mean by most comedy is based in conservative values. Had I had any brains, I would have asked you. Does that mean that we are fodder, we being conservatives, our values are fodder for comedy, we are to be made fun of, we represent, as Aristotle said, man, if you excuse me, that's what he said, less than himself? Okay. So is it that comedy stems from the debunking of conservative values? See, I wonder if that's what she meant. Because I just, personally, I right now don't agree, but I'd like to know more about what she has to say, and then I will agree. See, it's just clever like that, or I may agree. All right, she says, first, personally, I find straight-up political plays tedious. She says, Look Back in Anger was one of the few plays I've ever walked out on. Another question I'd ever asked her was, are you walking out on the because of the script, or were you walking out because of the production values, or were you walking out because the actors suck, or because somebody was chewing gum in your ear? Why would you walk out on Look Back in Anger? Granted, Osborne's play is not my favorite either, but I don't want to say too much against the Brits because they've been our friends here on this show. She says, as to your premise, in my view, the term conservative has been hijacked by so many fringe groups, from religious zealots to libertarians, to survivalists, to conspiracy theorists, to those who would profiteer off people's health and safety and beyond, that it's a mystery to me how it would be expressed specifically in a play. Well, CJ, with all due respects, if that is the description of what a conservative is, I think that in many ways it is, and I think that's because it is being defined not by conservatives. Okay? It's being defined by that vast group out there, the left, make up the people with whom, and I mean this with all respects, and I do not mean this with any animosity. I truly am just saying what I think is a fact. The theater world, the world that you and, yes, I rotate in, is so left-wing that we are using the left-wing dictionary to define conservatives. So we're survivalists. Okay. We listen, folks, I only have one extra can of tuna in my house. That's it. All right. We are survivalists. We are conspiracy theorists. We profiteer off people's health and safety in the name of conservatism. I don't think that's the proper definition of conservatism, because there's this feeling out there that people who are conservative have absolutely no compassion. And wait, wait until you hear some selections from CJ's play. Tell me if you think I'm wrong. Okay? And religious zealots. Okay? So, I mean, what does that mean? The left is just complete secular humanism or atheists, or there are no religious people? You know who just passed away in New York City? Mario Cuomo. He was a very devout Catholic, and as liberal as they come. Okay, so does that mean he was really a closet conservative? I think he'd probably be upset at that. I don't know. I've never asked him, but... I will tell you that he and I are from the same area of Queens. Yes. Okay, she says, perhaps a conservative, such as yourself, she means me, can write or commission a play vibrant enough to entertain an audience and promote some aspect of the conservative viewpoint. Okay, we need to figure out what that is, but I think we know what that is. How do we present that, I guess, would be my question. How do we present that without it being ridiculed, okay, and without the audience sitting there tittering? How do you make it really something that the audience comes away with and says, you know, I didn't think about that before. We're going back now, making the audience think. We're going back now to Brechtian theater. And I had to get that in for the beginning of the new year, and I'll get it in every show I can. She says, the vast majority of classic and for-profit theater and community and Lort theater is conservative. So that indeed may be, that may be true. That the vast majority is, but I'm, again, I question the, in what aspect is it true? At base, she says, conservative at base. It seems to me that if a conservative play was thought-provoking, well-written, and entertaining, it would have as likely a chance as any to be performed, provided an audience was interested. Now, that has become a little bit of the counter-argument we're hearing on stage right, and that is, well, look, of course we'll welcome conservative plays and conservative thinking with open arms, but the play's got to be good. Ladies and gentlemen, that's I feel, unless until I can be shown otherwise, I feel that this is a an excuse. That's the curtain that the left hides behind. Well, your play is no good. Do you know what passes for writing these days? And we've talked about it on this show. Do we know? How is it that the left plays, the plays that really espouse a more left-wing vision, how is it they get produced time and time again? Because if it's based on their literary, if you will, value, I don't see how any of them could get on. So I don't know. Yes, I agree. A play has to be interesting, and it has to be well-written, and it has to be entertaining. I give you all that. But I still think, until somebody tells me otherwise, I still think that the conservative message is what takes precedent, if you will, over all that good writing and all that entertainment. She also said, look, if we can get bums in seats for the interview, clearly there's a way to market anything. Okay. The quality of the product plus the market determines these things. That's right. Is there a market for conservative plays? Well, not if the industry is controlled by left-wingers, then the market won't open itself up to us. And therefore, we have to go black market. This show, I hope, will be the start of doing something like that. Or we find some brave theater practitioners like Kara Bluen. And then we have a chance. But don't forget, we have that chance, but we're always going to get responses from people like Roger Ebert, who sarcastically say, great, just what we need, right-wing plays. Okay, She does say, though, on the plus side, new groups spring up every day and find their own audiences to support them. So we really here at Stage Right, CJ, we really appreciate your point of view and love to hear more from you. She does mention LORT, and I just want to make sure people know that's the League of Resident Theaters. Who LORT is, they promote resident theaters, right, in the United States, and they support resident theaters and community interest, and they act in interest in behalf of its members and labor relations. I'm reading from their, actually from their website, and the one thing that does scare me, they say they communicate with the federal government through the National Endowment for the Arts. That, I mean, to me, that always sounds Orwellian, the National Endowment of the Arts. And the American Arts Alliance keep agencies apprised of the needs and status of LORT's membership. Well, good luck there. Okay, so let's talk about C.J. Ehrlich's play, Spare Some Change. I'm watching the clock. You know this is a half-hour show. If we don't finish it today, we'll start it next. We'll continue it next week. Okay? So Spare Some Change is one of the plays that was produced at the Republican Theater Festival, chosen by Kara Bluen and others, I assume. When we talk to Kara, we'll find out. But C.J.'s was picked. And as I said, if you want somebody who has a little theatrical heft to her, then you would go with somebody like C.J. Ehrlich. Let me set the scene for you on Spare Some Change. It takes place on a street corner in a downtown neighborhood in the afternoon. And it involves two characters, Diane, who works in the banking industry, and Scott, who is a scruffy man currently employed as a, and she said to use an old-fashioned term, a panhandler. Do you mean a hobo or a bum? Okay. I guess we euphemistically call them the homeless, correct? Let's talk a little bit about what this play is about. And I can see my birds are excited. Now, what I'm hoping to do is to have this play read professionally or semi-professionally by a bunch of actors. We don't have that luxury right now, so you're going to have to put up with me. Okay. But hopefully I'll be good. So let me set the stage. So Scott, the panhandler, is out there on the street, spreads out a blanket, puts out a coffee can, and he settles in, and he has a sign on him that in front of him that says, Occupy the Sidewalk. And we've talked about the Occupy movement on this show, and we know how much we love them. Okay, and so he's looking for a handout. When Diane walks by, looks at him, looks at his sign, looks at, you know, what he looks like, Mr. Scruffy, and she trips, and they start up a conversation. And he's going back and forth with her, and he keeps up pretty well with her, intellectually and comically, keeps up. And he finally says to her, pretty early on, he says, you're judging me, to which she says, you judge us. We're good if we toss you a buck. Otherwise, we're heartless and self-involved. Ah, okay. So we've got the makings, of course, of this traditional look by the left of the right, which is that those professional banking people, those financiers, those people who are rolling in dough, are okay when they're giving their money away or otherwise heartless and self-involved. Scott goes on to describe her. He says, I see clean clothes, great color. You like this play, huh, back there? Birds are loving this play. Okay. I have very classy birds. Okay. Scott says, okay. Clean clothes, great color for you, by the way. Expensive shoes, very chic. Movie star teeth, lustrous hair. And he says later on, big roof over your head, 3 or 4 meals a day. Boatloads of discretionary income to spend on flat screen TVs and extravagant vacations like on the credit card commercials. Definitely a one percenter. So we've got the view right now of this panhandler looking at this woman, this professional woman, and it's almost as if he's saying, well, you know, you've got it made, babe. You've got it made. You're, as he says, you've got boatloads of discretionary income. I think that's a stereotypical view, of course. Any more, I guess, than the panhandler is a scruffy bum is a stereotypical view. But let's go on and see what else is being set up here. But we've got that natural dichotomy going on here.
She says to him at one point, "Why would I feel guilty about earning money?"
Good question.
And he says, "Maybe it's the shoes. Aren't they kind of trendy for a Republican?" Now, nowhere yet in this play has Diane said, "I'm a Republican." But notice the assumption. Okay? And I do think, from that perspective, CJ's words are very real, are very rooted in reality. There's that perception. You're well-dressed. Okay? Now, she's a woman, so, you know, you wonder. Okay, but you're well-dressed. Therefore, ergo, you've got tons of money. You're going on extravagant vacations. Okay? You're buying flat-screen TVs. And you're a Republican. By the way, did you anybody ever see the recent list of the 10 most richest people in Congress? 8 out of 10 were Democrats. Don't read that. It's okay. That's fine because their heart's in the right place. Okay. She later says, this is Diane, she says, "And this is my fault?" So I got to say, standing back, C.J. Ehrlich is asking all the right conservative questions. I could see why this play, thus far, was included in the Republican Theater Festival. He says, if you're not part of the solution and all, maybe you don't get. You're part of the system that did this to me. There's a system out there, according to Scott, working against the people, the everyday. That's the system, you know. It's kind of like the man. And she says, wake up. You live in the greatest country in the world. Haven't you noticed? Everybody's trying to get in. Boy, is that more true now than ever before. And she says, Scott, the system works if you let it. All these things I'm applauding, folks. All of them I am applauding. But here's my question, and I'd love to know from CJ or anybody who saw this, what was the response, or more importantly, really, not the response, how was this played? How did Diane play this? Because this is going to balance very tentatively on the border of making fun of that conservative point of view. Diane is articulating it very well. She's going to argue with Scott later. I know we're going to have to pick this up next week, and I am happy to. So those of you who want to hear more, make sure you tune in next week. Okay? She says, let's cut the crap, Scott. You could choose to work. Oh, thank you. I felt like the heavens opened up when I read that. Thank you. Yes, could you choose to work? Why do we have a system that, quote unquote, did this to him that even allows that choice not to be made? He said, I had a job. It moved to Mumbai. Left me high and dry. He says, for the first 6 months, I just sat there, shell-shocked, drinking, watching The Price is Right.
Not bad, although I still do prefer Bob Barker.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Let me tell you, that is demoralizing when the unemployment ran out after only 18 months. And she says, another buffo. She says, didn't you get tired of the benefits game? I'm loving this. C.J. Ehrlich has, for the first time on this show, I think, shown us a conservative point of view. The question again is, how was it played? How was it staged? Was it taken seriously? He says, I tried. I networked. I got a LinkedIn account. I was linked out. Middle management is gone. I retooled my resume. But at my age, how many times can you take out experience and change your birth date? Ate through my savings, bills, mortgage, child support. My ex couldn't care less. I even went on food stamps. Next thing I know, I'm on the street. The system failed. All right, folks, first of all, we're going to pick this up next week, but what did you think of my performance? What I need to know. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. All righty. So we will pick this up next week. We've got a little bit more to go in Spare Some Change, but thus far, I will leave you with the idea that we have got the right conservative-based questions being asked by the right people. Yeah, I do think there's something a little stereotypical about the situation here, but maybe that's okay. This is a short play. It's no more than 10 pages. It's meant to be done quickly, so we need to get things over with quickly, and I don't mean that in a negative way. CJ Ehrlich, we love you so far here on Stage Right, and you may be cringing and saying, what? Conservative? Are you crazy? But let's see what else is going to go on. Anyway, folks, I will see you next week. This is Rocky Benesher.
Wishing you a wonderful week. We'll be back next Sunday at 1:30, and we're departing Stage Right.